Live from the HananiaAutos.com studios is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shedrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we go from the HananiaAutos.com studio to Field Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shedrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco, senior writer down in Fort Lauderdale. Live on 1010 XL tonight. Also, Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app over video streaming.
Glad we're streaming live. You can see how beautiful we are.
Oh, we're beautiful. All right. The Jaguars were not beautiful yesterday. 38-14, the final. No defense, no offense, no chance for the first drive forward. We'll talk, as we did in the crosstalk there, a bit about what the fans are talking about today. They're calling for heads already. I'm sure we'll get into that. Blake Bortles struggled yesterday. That's being nice. The defense couldn't do much on the other side, stopping the run, and then Rivers picked him apart. Injury report. We'll get an update on Kelvin Beach tonight, and we'll take your calls in the second hour this evening. So, yeah. I've been here. Let's see. Let's start with this.
It was a complete dumpster fire. Let's just say that.
I've been here. This is my fifth season here.
Start there and go.
We've seen worse games because there have been Jaguar teams that are expected to get blown out.
We've never seen worse games.
But the expectations leading to this game and where this team is supposed to be compared to what was on the field yesterday, it's by far the worst in that time. Has to be, right? And one of the worst we've seen in a long time beyond that, I'm sure. Tony, you've been in longer than I have.
It was putrid, okay, with a capital P. No life, nothing. It was just awful. They did get sacks, though.
Cheap ones.
They got cheap. Two.
Cheap. Let's just, the cheap ones.
I know, but they got them.
Onyx was big, but didn't mean it.
Tony, you half expected them to show up. They didn't show up. It's like they didn't get off the bus or didn't get off the plane. To me, it was inexcusable. And you know me. I said all week, last week, it was a bad setup. You play the Packers. You put a lot into it. They're going to go out west and get whacked. Then I thought about it. I go, you know what? I watched the tape for the Packers game. I said, they did a lot of good things. In San Diego, I watched them. They weren't very good. I figured, okay, they're going to go out there and find a way to win the game. And the first quarter happened, and it was a disaster.
It was after the first two series, I was like, because they showed no real fight on the first drive. And they marched down almost – all primarily on the ground.
Yeah, six of the eight plays on the ground.
Just shoved it right down their throats. And then we start our first offensive series with a false start. And then a negative play, and now we're sitting there at second and 17. And three and out punt. And at that point, I'm like, golly, this could get, you know. And it got out of control. And it was poor performances all around. From guys, and here's the thing that is frustrating and it's hard. Because all these young guys we've been talking about, and they're still young, you know, relatively. But these are guys that you're counting on now. And there's no more excuses. It's like, you're the quarterback. You got to make plays. You got to make good decisions. You got to make good throws. You got to be on time. Allen Robinson, you're number one receiver. You can't let take you out of the game. You know, offensive line, hey, we got to move it more than an inch. Hey, Julius Thomas, let's go. Let's make something happen. You know, Malik Jackson, I mean, go down. These are guys we're counting on. It was no different than when we played and we had a bad game. Hey, Tony Boselli, let's go. Block the defensive end. Hey, Fred, do something. Hey, Mark, how about to the right guy? You know, so it's no different. And so if you don't want to be called out like that and you don't want to be that guy, then be a, you know, just kind of, then you're not going to be a star. You're not going to be, you know, an elite player. But if you want to be an elite team and an elite player, then you have to show up on Sundays and play elite and compete at an elite level, even when you don't have your best. We all go into Sundays where we don't have our best, but you fight through it and you figure it out and you compete. And
I have my best every Sunday.
You don't do anything, Pete. You sit there and watch TV.
I do a lot of work on Sunday. It's a long day. Yes, I do. No. It's a long day.
But, Pete, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Who's that on? Is it on the player?
I am of the ilk that it always starts with the players. I think this is a player's league. I think coaches are important. Coaching is important. And, boy, Bill Belichick is showing their merit up in New England, what they're doing with a complete mess on their hands and figuring out a way to win ball games. And Thursday night, I'm doing that game, will be really interesting with the third quarterback in Jacoby Brissett.
Yep.
What they're able to do. So coaching matters. Good coaching helps players get in the right position to succeed and gets the most out of players. So, but I always start with the player. It's a player's league.
What about you, Pete? Where do you fall on that?
It's a quarterback's league, but then it's the players around them. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Hey, look, Bill Belichick wouldn't be Bill Belichick if he didn't have Tom Brady. I know he's done some good things without him for a couple games, and they won 11 games with Matt Castle. They didn't go to postseason. That you can coach your way around it in spurts. Over the long haul, you can't coach your way around not having a great quarterback, A, and not having great players. You just can't. I don't care who you are. I mean, the greatest coach in the world wouldn't be able to succeed over the course of his couple seasons or a season without having a quarterback. It just doesn't work that way. Look at how many quarterbacks have won the Super Bowls. Look who they are. They're the great ones. That's who wins Super Bowls. You have the aberration seasons, but those aberration seasons are when you have to. So you either have to have one or the other. Right now in Jacksonville, they don't have either.
So, now, is there coaching issues that need to, I mean, did they have their best
yes.
game? Did they coaching? No. And Gus said so. I don't understand any scheme where we're going to put Paul Posluszny on Travis Benjamin in man coverage and ask him to carry the fast guy on the team from the slot. As soon as Phillip Rivers saw that, with single high safety, rotated over to the trip side, Travis Benjamin ran to the opposite pylon as he could, and Phillip Rivers knew immediately that Posluszny was on an island and had no chance. That is coaching. On the crossing route.
So is Tony. Wait a second. So is on the offensive side of the football. So is dumping it to the back 550,000 times just because Kansas City had success with Spencer Ware doing the same thing last week.
Yeah. What, 8 catches for 10 yards for Yeldon? Is that right?
Yeah. But part of that is, Pete, if you watch all 22, maybe someone should win down the field. And when they do win, let's throw the ball on time where they can catch it.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't win a lot downfield. I didn't see the 22 yet, but they didn't look like they won.
No. So I'm not going to put that. See, that's play. I mean, no. If that was the game plan, if that Greg Olsen told, then that's on Greg. But watching the tape, I didn't see a lot of winning. And I had the conversation with a coach before the game. Football is the ultimate team game, and I think I said this last year. But ultimately, it comes down to one-on-one matchups and you beating your guy. It's winning. It's winning in your matchup. It's creating space as a receiver. It's winning at the point of attack if you're an offensive lineman. It's winning on the pass rush if you're a defensive lineman. It's covering if you're a – whatever it is. As a quarterback, it's making the right read and throwing the ball where it's supposed to be on time. You have to win. Scheme is important, good coaching, and I think there were some issues, some questionable things. But I always start with the players.
Can somebody answer this for me?
Yes.
Why does Miles Jack not play?
I'm sure we'll get to that.
If you're gonna have a scheme where a linebacker walks out on Travis Benjamin, you damn well bet it would be better if you had Miles Jack doing it.
Okay, I don't disagree. But you got to know where to line up. You got to understand the defense. And, Pete, you covered a lot of Pac-12. Is Miles Jack look thicker than he did in college?
Yes.
I'm sure we'll break that down a little bit more
so
tonight.
So what you're saying is he's overweight.
I'm just didn't say maybe he's supposed to be that weight. I don't know what he's supposed to weigh. I'm not Tom Mysliński, the strength coach or the head coach that dictates what
he's
weighing.
Well, you're hinting at it.
I'm just saying he looks thicker. Doesn't look like the Miles Jack body type wise that I watched at UCLA. That's all I'm saying.
But early in camp, everybody was raving about how thick he is in the lower body and how that's a good thing.
I'm just telling you, Pete.
You're hinting around that somebody told you that he's overweight.
No one told me anything. If they told me that he was overweight, then I'd say he's overweight, and I'd know what he's supposed to weigh and what he does weigh.
What is your point about that?
My point is, I've heard rumblings.
There you go.
No, not about the weight. About the MAs and missed assignments and understanding the defense. I've heard those rumblings. My looking at him about body type is from observations of watching him at UCLA as a Pac-12 guy and now seeing him here. He just looks thicker to me and looks heavier to me. Maybe that's what they want. And I'm not saying not saying that's not why he's on the field. I think it's the mental aspect of understanding where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be there.
Okay, and we used the excuse for a while that it was him not being able to get here from the graduation.
That's over. UCLA. That's over.
But he's been here long enough.
Long
you're not
enough.
Picking up the mental part of it should be behind him by now.
Agreed.
We'll come back in a moment and dissect Blake Bortles' day a little bit further. We'll talk defense a little later tonight. Your calls in the second hour. But the quest to catch them all continues. Be a part of the next Pokemon Safari here at EverBank. Sunday, September 25th.
Are you a Pokemon guy?
No, I bet you are.
No, I've never done it. My kids did it.
Pete probably is.
Never.
Pete looks like a Pokemon.
A little bit.
A you Pokemon.
Kind of fat. Kind of rolly and
fat.
Bald. Well, you just roll.
Fat?
You're kind of,
what are you talking
you're
about?
You're round. Not fat. You're not fat. You're thick. You're kind of round and bald. Kind of like Pokemon-like.
Maybe you could
call
catch
me poke.
Frisco.
Call me Pokemon. I'm going to poke in the eye with a stick. How's that?
All right.
Jags-Ravens game day. That's the Pokemon Safari. Register at Jaguars.com/Pokemon. We're just underway. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I think we kind of took ourselves out of rhythm by doing stupid stuff. Obviously, the turnovers and then the penalties. You know, we talked about during the week trying to win on third down by staying ahead and winning on first and second down, and we weren't able to do that. I mean, we jumped off sides on the first play of the game, and it was, you know, going downhill from there. Three turnovers in the first half, you know, all completely my fault. It's hard to win when you play like that.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles, after the game yesterday in San Diego. Jaguars Monday continues. By the way, Jaguars All Access TV tonight at 7 on Channel 4. AJ Cann is the guest this evening. For those of you on Jaguars.com watching our stream, they'll go to that.
I wonder if Jeff can find any good plays to show.
Not many.
There's not many to choose from, Pete.
Not many.
Tony, of all the plays that you watched, okay, both sides of the ball, what percentage were good?
So let's say special teams, everything, let's say they're 145 plays. Sound about right? Yeah.
That sounds too many.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're
special
right.
Special teams,
both
everything.
Sides of ball. Yeah, okay.
20? Everyone did everything right?
20%. So that's more than 20 plays. So
28. 29. I don't
that's
know.
That's not very good.
No. Not good.
Did anybody one player
who played well
play well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talvin Smith.
Oh. That's it.
Brandon Linder.
Two.
I thought AJ played all right.
I think AJ's pretty good.
I do too.
I didn't think Linder. I went back and watched the 22 last week. I didn't think Linder played that well in the first week. I thought he was just okay.
He was better this week. He's a really good player.
Yeah, he's going to be a really good player. But I don't know. It just. And I haven't rewatched the game on 22 like you did, but it just watching the TV game, it didn't look like there was any rhythm at all.
And in fairness, when I give a number, I mean, I'm human, so I was in a really bad mood when I watched it the second time.
Shocking.
And so I probably was not giving the benefit of the doubt to anybody.
Shocking.
As I watched it. So, I mean, much like, yeah, I frankly, I'm a miserable person. I've come to realize certain aspects of me.
I mean, just now realized.
My wife thinks I'm lovely. My kids like me, except for when I'm coaching them. Yeah.
So you're an angry person.
Angry. Yes.
Very angry.
Am I angry? Am I an angry guy? People
think I'm angry. You're a
curmudgeon.
Smartass.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's a compliment.
That's what you are.
Yeah.
I have a low tolerance for
bad football.
Bad.
I saw you getting into it with people today on Twitter.
Yeah.
Were you really? I missed that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I there's just certain people that.
What happened?
Well, there's certain people that like to play the I told you so game. I said this a year ago. I told you. And I finally just had enough and made the mistake of entering into the fray.
Should we review?
You can pretty much figure out who it is.
And I basically said, maybe the Jags should call you.
It was Alfie.
Maybe the Jags should call you before they make any moves. I go, you have all the answers. So I just got tired of it.
Well, you got to remember, Alfie is a fan. He's a passionate fan.
I thought he was a media guy. Why? He has media credentials.
No, he doesn't.
He's a fan.
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a fan.
And so he's going to have an emotional tie to the team. That's natural. You can't let him get under your skin. He said something today when I wrote about the Gus and my thing, and he said, national media is catching on. And I said, I don't give a crap about who – it doesn't matter to me. I personally think that the job that Gus has done right now on the surface is not good enough. But he deserves to get the rest of the season to find out if he can turn it around. But if that goes bad the next 2 weeks, Tony, that could be a change of heart for Shad Khan. And I'm not saying lose heartbreakers or whatever, but if it's 35-0 at home and 33-0 on the road in London.
That's not going to happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen either, but –
Well, I'm not going to play the game of what if this or this.
The ice is thin.
Okay, if they go 14-0, does he get a 10-year extension?
Maybe.
No, he doesn't beat. You know that.
So what if he goes 14-2 the rest of the season? He probably gets a 5-year extension.
You know the selfish part of me is it's very selfish. What I'm about to say. I want that just for myself, so I can start going back at all the "I told you so" guys. Very, very shallow and petty by me.
What are you the I told you so guy? Why are you?
No, I don't like it. I would become the very thing I don't like is the I told you so guy. I don't like those guys. I told you so.
Everybody's an I told you so
guy. Not me.
Guy.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No.
You're here every Monday. You say, I told you that, Pete. I told you that, Pete.
No, are. No, I'm not.
Yes,
Pete.
You are, Tony.
Pete, I'm not. Listen, we need to stop bickering so much, too. That was some feedback on Twitter that someone didn't like us bickering. And I said, well, you might want to listen to a different show then, because I don't think that's ever going to change.
Yeah, because you're always wrong.
You sound like my wife.
Pete's an I told you so guy.
Oh,
all day
the
long.
Ultimate I told you so. He forgets about all the times he was wrong.
Oh, no. I'll admit when I'm wrong, too. Like, the tweet that lives on in infamy about me saying that Christian Ponder would be better than Cam Newton.
Yeah, that was a bad call by you.
really bad call. But I admit it. I mean, but you know what? I can admit it, but when somebody tweets it out 40,000 times a couple years after the fact, it's like, okay, enough's enough. Okay?
What were you thinking when you typed that tweet?
I thought Christian Ponder would be good. I'll be honest about it. I missed. That's a swing and a miss, big time.
You got a swing, though. Miss. Yeah, you got a swing.
Hey, the Vikings missed. They picked them.
True.
I didn't pick them.
Good point.
Speaking of quarterbacks.
Yeah, let's go back to
Blake
we're
Bortles,
talking nonsensical right now. Let's
three first-half turnovers, a couple of bad interceptions, the fumble, accuracy not great.
What were his numbers at the end?
At the end of the day, they're very deceiving.
The same, though. I want to make a point off of
31
this.
Of 50 passing, 329 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. The rating was 77.8.
So, the problem with this world today is fantasy football. Because somebody owned Blake Bortles in fantasy football and got a lot of points. And we gauge things by that now. And at the end of the day, what you are gauged by is, ultimately, is wins and losses. And leading your team to victory. And that was a poor performance by Blake Bortles. Can't turn it over three times in the first half. I don't think he was sharp. I'm always careful to question decision making because I'm not in the game plan room and I don't know the exact concepts and the progression he's supposed to go through. But from the high level of what it didn't seem sharp. How about that? And you have to, if you're the quarterback, you're the franchise guy, that can't happen. It just can't happen.
You know what else, too? When they fall behind, Blake gives me the persona that he thinks he has to get it all back on one play. instead of, you know, taking his time, getting a drive, cutting the lead to 14-7, go from there. It's almost like they think they have to go get a big giant chunk or force the ball or whatever, rather than be patient and understand. Because you've been around the league a long time, Tony. Good teams fall behind sometimes 14-0, but good teams find a way to regroup and come back, and the quarterback is kind of usually the guy that leads that. With him, it looks like it's, okay, I got to get this. I got to go get it. I got to get this back. And he presses, and it becomes worse. You agree?
I do. But I think it's also the fact that there's – I always felt like in a game that you're on the wrong side early, somebody has to make a play. Something has to happen. 96 Buffalo. We're down 13-0, and we are getting boat raced in the playoffs. But you remember that. We couldn't move it, and we couldn't stop them. And they run a shuffle play down on about the 15-yard line that Clyde Simmons intercepts and goes and scores. And from a game that we were getting dominated in, they never stopped us again. I mean, it was over. It was over. And I can go through my career of games when you're on the wrong side. You need something.
Well, the next week in Denver.
Yeah, same thing.
You were losing, was it 13-0, 12-0? They were skating around. You weren't doing anything. And then you get a penalty to keep a drive alive.
And it's over.
And they didn't stop you again.
And so sometimes you just need somebody or something to happen to get something going. And I actually thought it was going to be when Yannick forced that fumble and it's 14-0. I thought that was going to be the spark. But nobody on offense ever stepped up and did anything. And I'll tell you, I don't think Blake played well. I don't think A-Rob had a good game. If you're a number one receiver, you can't be taken out. Unless they're going to double you, but you can't let someone play press coverage on you. And I wish Blake – and what I'd love to ask Ole and Blake is, when they're in the single high and they're going press, isn't A-Rob the best jump ball guy around? I mean, isn't that what he's made his money doing?
That's what we talked about all offseason.
I would have loved to have seen three or four opportunities, just throw it up, then let him go make a play. But he was taken out. And from the booth, and I want to, and I always hated this as a player, so I'm doing the very thing I hated as a player. But I'm going to do it. The body language yesterday on that field bothered. It just not. I will not question their effort. I will not question that they did not want to win. That they wanted to win or not. I don't think that's the case. Those guys wanted to win. But I thought when it went sideways, I thought the body language was just not what I've seen in the past. When they got down 7-0 early in Green Bay, I looked at that sideline and the energy never changed, and I didn't think that it was going to get out of control. But something about the body language to me yesterday was just like, ugh. It just didn't see the energy.
Well, who's that on, Tony?
The players. Mm. You don't think, Pete?
It's on the players to be self-motivated, yes. It's also somewhat on the staff.
It's always on the – yes, you're right. It's never just one. Yeah. It's not one or the other. I agree with that.
But why didn't they run – when they had all that press coverage, though, why didn't they start changing things up and doing things a little differently? I mean, that – I haven't watched the 22, but more picks and rubs and bunch and stuff like that.
I mean, they did some bunch. And they crossings with – and they got Julius wide open on some crossing stuff, and he had some nice throws. So they did some of it. Just they never got in a rhythm, Pete. Not once were they in a rhythm.
We'll come back and go on the defensive side of the ball. How did they not stop the run yesterday for a defense, well, built to stop the run?
Oof.
The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. Your call's coming up in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
All the intention is we just got to get right. You know, you're not defined by one game. You know, I think if this brings us to the right places, you know, that's my concern right now, is to make sure this game, this experience that we have, you know, elevates our play and takes us to the right place. And, you know, that's purely all the conversation we're having with our team right now.
Head coach Gus Bradley on his Monday conference call with media. Jaguars Monday continues. He was asked about, is this a crossroads for you in terms of job security? J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. What's up? You're waving your hand at me, Tony.
Yeah,
what?
I got something to say. So one thing we're going to do this year, if I get a good tweet, good tweet question,
yeah,
I will ask it on the air.
Okay, great.
All right.
That sounds productive. I like
Joe,
that.
Why don't you sell a sponsorship for that? A little extra.
Yeah, Joe.
A little extra cash for you. You like that idea?
Okay.
Twitter question.
What do you got?
This is from Dilla at E underscore Dilla. Who should be fired first? Gus Bradley or Tony Boselli? I like to make that the poll question of the day. How do you poll on the Twitter? I want to do that.
I don't know, but you can do it. I don't think it's that hard. We can get the social guy to help you
figure that out. Yeah. So that,
we should go with Tony Boselli, always.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I agree. I pretty much agree.
So you're saying me?
Tony Boselli. Yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
Unanimous. Love it.
It was unanimous.
You can fire him, but you can't get rid of him. He's always on the wall.
It's true. So, Edilla, I guess it's me. I'll see you later. So that was interesting.
Well, and you want that sponsored?
Yeah, I'm sponsored.
Okay.
Question.
I'll get right on that.
Why is everybody out for you all of a sudden?
I don't know. They want to fire me because they think.
Because you're a defender.
I'm a defender.
Because I defend everything that.
I defend the team.
You do?
I defend the organization.
Teal colored glasses.
Or, yeah, I think I'm actually pretty objective. No, I do.
Mm.
No, Pete?
Sometimes. Sometimes you get irrational.
Like how,
like
Pete?
Crazy? Like crazy?
There are times where he defends too much, but he'll take people on. He'll take the players on. He's got a soft spot for the offensive linemen. I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay, that's fair.
And you'll defend him a little more than you would any other position.
Fair.
And you know, you like Gus Bradley. A lot of people like Gus Bradley, so you'll defend him more than you would if it was a guy who was an ogre. That's human nature. I mean, there have been coaches over the years, you know, not Tom Coughlin, but there have been coaches over the years that you didn't want to defend or because you didn't like them.
They weren't good guys.
You like Gus. Gus is a likable guy. But that, again, at times you got to separate the football from the man.
I'm just saying,
Gus is a Hall of Famer as a man. He's a Hall of Famer as a man. I don't think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody. I mean,
I think I'm a little better man than he is. But
I'm saying you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who wouldn't think he was a really good man. I mean, I'll give you an example. When I was going through my stuff, Tony.
Yeah.
In August, he was. You know, he asked me about it. He was very caring about it. Yep. I know he's the same way with a lot of other people. That's who he is as a man. So, I'm a Hall of Fame man, but you got to separate him as a coach. And if, let's put it this way, Tony, if Gus wasn't the guy he was with the same results, 12 and 38, there'd be a lot less
blood in the streets. No, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I tell players all the time, dealing with the media, treat the media like human beings, be respectful, help them out when you can, because when it's not going well, they won't kill you as bad. Is that not true, Pete? It's harder to kill a guy if you like him.
Right.
Not that you won't be honest, but you'll tell the story in a way that you'll try to protect them as much as possible while still having journalistic integrity. Where if he's a bad guy, you're ready to just
bury him.
Bury him.
And Tony, you forgot to give him the one lesson, the young guys the other lesson too.
What's
about becoming the beat reporter's deep throat like you used to be.
That's still, you can say that every week of every year that we have this show.
He does.
And it's still not going to make it true. It's amazing.
You never told me anything at all. The whole time that I covered that beat, you never told me anything?
I never told you anything that was off the record. I would tell you what I thought.
Tony.
I don't recall.
No.
I don't.
Oh,
I don't recall.
Great line.
I don't recall.
No, I'd never tell you stuff that happened in the team meeting ever because I know who did that for you.
Who did it for me?
I'm not going to say on the
What is the definition of off the record?
No.
That's the next question.
But Pete, in all seriousness, did I not – I mean, you and I tried to have a good relationship with all the media. Now, would I get
– You did.
Would I get hot-headed and stuff, but I'd always talk to them. I'd always sit there and because I knew they had a job. And guess what?
Yes.
Because I think when you do that, and Gus is – because when you do that, you give yourself the best chance when it goes bad – the reporter still has to do his job. It's like the Barry Bonds syndrome. If you're a bad guy, ask Barry Bonds how that works out. They want to bury him.
But in fairness, when it gets to a point, that all goes out the window too.
It does.
The stuff I just outlined for you, if it's, you know, you don't want it to happen to Gus, but if it happened in week 4, it would be a situation where all that stuff goes out the window, and it would be a story, Pete.
You're right.
Right.
We'll come back in a moment. Injury report. We still got to talk defense.
Come on,
yeah,
JP.
We'll get to it. Hey, it's a short segment. What do you want? The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank this Sunday when the Jags lock down the bank and welcome the Baltimore Ravens. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
We've got to take a look at these things. You know, if there is some things that under our control, like the penalties or busts that are taking place, you know, why are these taking place? And that's the conversation we've had with the players. And now it must be applied. And we must do it in practice, and it's got to carry over. And, you know, the accountability is strong within this team as far as, you know, we all hold each other accountable. And but we got to show these things on the game field.
Head coach Gus Bradley on his conference call earlier today. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco from Fort Lauderdale. Injury report coming up. We'll get to the defensive talk as well. Your calls in the second hour. We're about 10 minutes away or so from phone calls tonight. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. I know Tony's excited to speak to the masses today.
Always.
One-on-one.
Always.
Pete always is, too.
Yeah, let's do the injury report.
Yeah.
Do we have time? Are we doing PFF grades, too?
Ooh, Pete.
We'll do those, too, yeah.
Yeah, I bet there's not many good ones.
Good defense. We've really butchered this thing today.
No, we'll get to all that stuff. We're going to take calls, but we got other stuff.
All right, go ahead. Come on.
A whole hour.
Do your injury report.
Injury report. Kelvin Beachum. Scary situation yesterday. Diagnosed with a concussion, though. Taken to the hospital as a precautionary measure. Released today, he'll remain in the NFL concussion protocol. That's great news.
Doubt for Kelvin full he'll play this week.
Yeah, that would be surprising. Jared Odrick, left triceps injury, was able to finish the game. They're continuing to evaluate. I don't know if that was when he slammed his helmet on the sideline or before that.
Looks like his tricep felt all right then.
Yeah, right. Jonathan Cyprian strained his right triceps in the fourth quarter. He was able to finish, reevaluated later. Amukamara continuing rehab for his right hamstring strain. That was a big loss to this Jags defense.
Had nothing to do with the loss.
It was still, but you still want your best guy out.
Absolutely, because there was a busted nickel.
There you go. Chris Ivory continues his conditioning workload. That would be nice to have him in the backfield. Roy Miller played through a left hand injury yesterday. Denard Robinson evaluated for a concussion, but he was cleared during the game. He took a heck of a lick towards the end there. So there's your injury report. If Beachum's not available, what do they do?
Great. That is a outstanding question. I'll tell you what, when they had Jokel out there at left tackle and Chris Reed at left guard in the preseason, I know it was just preseason. They did a pretty good job. I think they're probably more comfortable with Amame at guard or tackle just because of the experience that he has. But I don't really know what they're going to do. If they're playing Baltimore and Terrell Suggs is out there, and Terrell Suggs is not even close to what Terrell Suggs used to be. I mean, how many Achilles tendons is he torn now?
Yeah, he's not the same guy.
No, and so do you keep Luke where he is at guard so you continue to get the reps and put Amame out there at left tackle, knowing that you should – I mean, it would be a tough game, but you should be okay. You're at home. He had a couple rough ones in really tough duty against San Diego because it's all pass. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know. That's a tough one. I'd have to think. I actually would have to spend some time thinking about that. It comes down to how comfortable you are with Omame at left tackle.
Well, I mean, how did you think he played when he went in yesterday?
Some fine, and he had about three or four that were rough, but he was silent count. It was, he got laid off the ball, and he was, I mean, they were pinning their ears back, Pete. It was, you know, blood in the water, sharks at the defensive line. Here we go. Let's meet back at Blake Bortles. It's the toughest situation for an offensive lineman when you're down big and they know you have to throw.
It'll be interesting to see what they do.
I would probably put Luke Jokla at left tackle. That's what I would do, as I just think through it. And I'd put either Chris Reed or Omame at left guard.
Wow.
That was me. What would you do, Pete?
I'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
I'd play Jokla at tackle.
So, we'll find out.
I don't think I have the grades, by the way. I think they changed the – I got to figure out a way.
They're actually waiting until they can watch the tape? That'd be a good idea.
No, they're in there, but they're not – they changed the way they do this. It's weird. They don't do it by game anymore. It's like an overall grade.
They might actually be spot on for this week for you, Tony.
Well,
Brandon Linder's right now the third-ranked offensive – the third-ranked center in the league right now.
For the season? Yeah, nice.
That doesn't surprise me. He's good.
Guess what, guys?
What do you think about the guards?
I thought AJ played good.
AJ's 16th in the league, so he must have had a really good game.
Yeah.
And Luke is 43rd.
Middle of the pack.
He didn't play well yesterday?
Average. Okay. Not bad, but okay.
Is the right tackle struggling?
Well, you remember he had a groin injury during the week.
He was not moving as well as he did week one. He didn't play as well, but he was okay. He wasn't a liability out there.
Well, there had to be.
He had a couple holding plans. Yeah, so he just okay. They didn't work concert very well together.
Tony, here's one I wanted to ask you. We were going to talk about defense, but Malik Jackson. I thought the first game he was pretty good when I went back and watched the 22. How was he yesterday?
I don't think anyone – and we can move to defense right now with that question. I don't think the defense played very well at all. I don't think they got a lot of pressure. I don't think they stopped the run.
No, the
run
game.
I don't think they won. I don't think there was energy. I don't think they were flying around like they have in the past. I just don't think they played very well.
This is a Jaguars defense that gave up 150 yards on the ground yesterday. I mean, it's a group built to stop the run.
You heard what I just said.
I know. I'm with you. I'm just giving you the statistical
backup.
You're
listening to what I said, right?
I'm sitting right here watching your mouth move. Yes, I can see what you're saying and listen to what you're saying, too. But statistically, yes.
I didn't know you were a lip reader.
I am.
And that's not a really good offensive line either.
No. And they made them look really good. They made them look really good.
Yeah, that to me is – that was surprising that they handled them. Really surprising. Paz had a bad game, though.
I don't think he played very well.
Again,
I don't think Cyprian played very well.
Why on Paz? What was bad about his game?
What makes Paz great is his identification of the play and getting there in a very timely manner in the run game. And I saw him getting caught in traffic at times, and I don't know whose bust it was either him and Telvin, but if I was guessing by the film on a coverage on one of the crossing routes, I think it was Puz. Ran out and covered the wheel because Telvin was the closer defender. I could be wrong about that, so I don't want to put it all on Puz. He didn't play as well as he has in the past.
Has the free safety's been a little bit of a disappointment the first 2 weeks?
He has not done much. I thought he dropped the interception. Not that it would have mattered. It was at the end of the game. I don't think he's been very good in the first 2 weeks in the open field tackling.
Whiffed last week.
Yes.
On a run.
Yep. I think he's just been okay, Pete.
Yeah, you're being kind, I think. I don't think he's been – and Cyprian struggled.
I don't think Cyprian's played very well. I don't think he played – his run fits were – not very good. I was going to say atrocious, but that might be a little strong. Do you know what that means?
But that's what you meant.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I do.
You gave me a quizzical look like I'm not sure what that means.
Well, if you think that, why don't you just say it?
I just want to make sure. So I don't think his run fits were very good at all, Pete.
And it looked like from the
And that's what he's supposed to be the best at, by the way.
Right, right. House had a rough go of it.
House, no energy. I think it was Fred. Was it Fred Taylor on the post game said he thought he loafed a couple plays? I heard Freddie said something about loafing. I don't want to put words in his mouth. You did the
I
show with him.
Yeah, I can't. Off the top of my head, okay, I can't remember.
Erase that.
Yeah.
Strike that from the show, Joe. I thought someone said that.
Might have.
And the rookie had a little bit of a rough go of it at times.
No, just on the one crossing route.
Yeah, but
it was one crossing route that he kind of got.
He also missed a tackle in the run game. In the
that was the worst place. The crossing route, he ends up making the tackle for a gain of four or five. That's not the end of the world.
How did Grotz play?
Yeah.
He had the one bust.
Let me put it this way. On the touchdown that really sealed the game, on the crossing route on 3rd and 9, that should have been a tackle for about a five-yard gain.
Yeah.
10 guys are playing cover 3. One guy is playing man. The one guy playing man is the flat defender to the side the crossing route went. So everyone's like, this defense is terrible. Todd Walsh is an idiot. I can't believe what they're doing. No one in the world runs a defense where 10 guys are running cover 3 and one guy's running man. So he ran to the middle of the field with the slot receiver. And the receiver from the single receiver side, the X, came across on a 5-yard drag and would have been tackled right there because Grotz was supposed to be the flat defender or the whole defender right there, and there was nobody there. I mean, nobody.
Green grass.
He vacated.
He ran to the end zone. So I don't think Grotz had a great game.
So it's a player issue on the defensive side.
I don't think lining Pud's up on Travis Benjamin's a player issue.
Well, there you go.
My guess is
I don't think not getting Miles Jack on the field in some form or fashion is a player issue.
That might be, Pete. We don't know. I'm not saying this is the case. Let me ask you a question. You're the coach. Let's say a guy is struggling with the mental aspect of picking up the defense and is overweight.
Again, back to the overweight again.
Well, because I'm basing it on yours and I's vision of what we see. His name's J.P. Shadrick. He's a linebacker from USC, and we've drafted him in the first round.
He can make some plays, make it easier on him.
Okay, and we've drafted J.P., and he's coming out of shape, and he's struggling.
Put J.P. on the line of scrimmage. He can't be worse than Scooter.
So you're going to rush J.P. now. Okay.
Can J.P. be worse than Scooter?
Scooter didn't play much.
He didn't do much either.
Didn't play much either. I said from the beginning I'd play him there. Oh, that's what I said from the beginning. I'd put him at the auto. But no one's listening to me, obviously.
Mm. Well, maybe they should.
We'll come back in a moment. Phone lines are open.
Pete, you're really on this Miles Jack thing. You think that's a coaching blunder that he's not out there?
He should be on the field.
More Miles
Jack. Too much talent to be not be on the field.
There you have it. More Miles Jack talk and your calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Second hour of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Looking at, hey, all right, now let's take a look at the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Man, we got to get done today. We've got a lot to get done today and a lot of conversation, a lot of, you know, coaching that's taking place and conversation. So, you know, we still day to day and handling it that way. And we got to get right. And just the meeting that we had with the players, they understand it too. They're professionals. They understand that we can't have that kind of performance. And, we all believe we're a good team, but we just didn't play like we're a good team. And that's what we got to get back to.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley earlier today. Second hour of Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli.
Can I say one more thing about Pete Prisco?
Pete
too.
Prisco's here.
No one
as
really
well.
Cares about Pete.
Yeah, I'm here.
Let me tie a little bow on this Miles Jack thing. Not that we can't talk about it more. I actually agree with Pete, which is a rarity. I think they have to. I think they have to find a way to get him on the field because he's such a dynamic athlete. And all the stuff about him on the mental side of it, that's the story we've heard the entire time. Isn't that the narrative we've heard through camp and everything, that new position and new defense and everything else, correct, JP?
Yeah.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah.
We're on radio.
Yeah, thanks.
Tony, but if that's the case, why did they overload him with more positions?
Let me finish, and then we'll have this discussion. I don't know if he's overweight or not. My only point in saying that is because I've talked to different people now outside the organization that have watched him in college, and Pete, I think we've talked about it. He was a space fly around, and he looked more lean to me than he does now. Now, I don't know if he gained the weight. Maybe they told him to gain the weight to play middle linebacker. I don't know. But doesn't his body type look different to you than it did at UCLA?
I noticed it when I was on the practice field training camp that he looked thicker.
Okay. And I'm not saying that. Maybe it's muscle. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the guy does. With all that said, he's too talented not to be on the field. So the only thing I can come back to is I know Gus Bradley wants to win. And I know Todd Wash, Stevens coordinator, wants to have a successful defense. So Pete, don't you think if they thought he could help them, he would be out there?
You would think so.
I mean, that's common sense. And so a lot of times what we say, and I think sometimes people listen to us think we have this, you know, insight from the coaches and stuff, like they confer with me about what they're going to do, you know, and you, JP, but we speculate sometimes, and so I don't know why he's not out there. I just know that he's so talented as a football player. What I saw at UCLA, you have to find a way.
I was told, I interviewed Robert Saleh, linebackers coach, before the game this week, and we aired it on the pregame show, and I asked him, what's left for Miles Jack to get on the field? Well, he said he knows both positions, but the other two linebackers are playing at a high level right now, is what I was told. And that's why they didn't have him on the field.
Telvin played at a high level the first 2 weeks.
Well, there's actually three linebackers.
Right, and they've been playing nickel, Pete, every snap.
But Jack's been learning those two positions, middle and weak. So
And again, that goes back to what I asked you before, Tony. If he's struggling with the mental side of things,
give one position.
Why make it so complicated on him? Give him two.
But are you going to take Telvin off the field, Pete?
Not the way he's played. No.
You can't. He's playing too good. But then if you give him Mike on third down, nickel, because you want him out there with more speed, then because the coverage ability, which we saw was an issue, unfairly to Posluszny, by the way. I'm not sure Miles Jack would have done any better. I mean, a little bit better because he's faster. But that's a tough position mentally, is it not? Is it not? The middle, Mike,
yes,
linebacker and sub?
But he might be better in first down against the run than what Paz has been giving him.
Well, now, wait a second. I mean, I want to give Paz the benefit of the doubt. It wasn't great last week against San Diego, but historically he's pretty been dang been pretty
but
dang
at some
good
point
against
you
the
hit
run.
The wall. You hit the wall.
We're not going to make a decision after 1 week, is my point. In fairness to Paz.
I mean, at some point they might need to sit him down.
I'm not saying they don't. I don't know. I hope not, because I mean, I don't really care. I like Puzz, but I also want to win. I just go back to, if they thought Miles Jack could help them win football games, be a better defense, they're not going to keep him on the sideline because
it's not a conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy. Right. So it's either the mental side or there's something going on, or maybe it's just what Robert Saleh said. The other two are better. I just – watching that kid at UCLA, Pete, he's a special athlete.
So you know how I used to operate. If I was the beat guy still, I'd walk over and say, so you drafted this kid and everybody raved about him, and now he's not playing. Is he not smart enough? Is he too heavy? And then they would say, no, he's not either of those guys. And then you go over and you say to Jack, well, they say you're not having any problems picking up the defense and you're – fast enough to play, so why aren't you playing?
Yeah, you'd stir it up to get to the bottom of it, is your point.
Of course I would.
That's
something I want to see this week up there from somebody. Why isn't he playing?
Well, I'm not the beat writer and I'm not an investigative reporter, and so that's not my job. I speculate and try to figure out things. I know just what we've heard about the mental aspect of it and the conversation you and I had. I remember us sitting there, Pete, on the sideline talking about his body, of how he looked thicker than we thought he was when he was UCLA. That's all I remember.
It's just weird because I was at I went out and actually watched him work out at UCLA, I mean, in Arizona in the spring. And he was in good shape, but I agree with you. I thought he was a little heavier when I saw him this summer.
Maybe they told him to because they don't want him to play Mike.
Maybe yeah, so.
That's a mistake. Then you're taking away from what makes
him. Well, I'm not saying they did or not, Pete. I'm just saying maybe.
Well, if they did, I'm saying it's a mistake because it takes away from being the great player that he is.
All right.
Speed is his game.
Y'all ready to open the phone lines up?
Always.
Here we go. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We're going to start off at Neptune Beach with Papa Louie. What's up, Papa Louie?
How you doing?
Good, man. What you got?
Just talk about the game and certain players.
Okay.
Okay, go for
ahead.
It. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
All right, we'll go to Steve on the south side.
No, I got it. You there?
Go ahead,
we're
Papa
here,
Louie.
Papa Louie. Just start talking.
All
say
right.
Something.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Pete. Well, hey. I just got some issues here, obviously.
We can tell.
I can tell.
Thanks, Chad. The GM and the coach. Okay, let's say the GM, we are going out and getting a player to do a certain thing. We go out and get Marquise Lee, second round pick 3 years ago to stretch the field. I have not seen Marquise Lee ever go down the field. He is used on bubble screens, reverses, 5-yard crossing patterns. You put him in the slot, you send him down 50 yards, you let Blake throw it. That gets the safety up there, it opens up the other field. I've never seen Marquise Lee really stretch the field, and that's what he was drafted for. Number two, Brandon Linder, our guard. Okay, he was drafted as a guard. He could have been an all-pro. Tony, you love him as a center. He might be a great center. But, hey, he was drafted as a guard. He could have been an all-pro guard. But we moved him into another position instead of trying to take care of the center spot. Number three, we're trying to get Miles Jack on the field. Okay, well, guess what? Our running game is horrible. Miles Jack should be running the ball. He should be our second team.
Papa Louie,
well, he was a running back in college.
Put the beer down. I know those. Put the beer down, Papa Louie. Not moving Miles Jack to running back. You're not putting Miles Jack at running back.
Well, Kuiper said that he could have been he's a top five player. He could be a running back, a linebacker, a strong safety, a defensive end. We haven't used him in any of those positions.
He's not going to be a running back. Brandon Linder, moving him to center was a smart move. Center's more important than guard in the offensive line scheme, and he's the best offensive lineman. He's going to be, in my opinion, an all-pro center one day. Marquise Lee is the first year he's been healthy.
Yeah.
First year he's been healthy. And then he does run down the field sometimes.
But you also said that they didn't win.
Yeah, they didn't.
Sunday.
They didn't.
Well, and that's a problem. I mean, Verrett's a good player. Don't get me wrong. I think he's on the verge of becoming one of the better corners in the league.
I do, too. But if you want to be one of the better receivers, you
got to win that. You got to win. I agree.
Let's go to Steve on the south side. Steve, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. A huge fan of the show and a longtime Jaguar fan as well. Quick question. If Bortles is not the guy, Prisco, who would you draft in next year's draft?
No, we're not doing that.
Too early. It's too early for that.
Call another show if you're going to do draft talk. Not this one. We're not doing draft talk. Don't call and ask those questions. No, we're not doing it. Next.
No, I don't mind draft talk, but that's ridiculous.
We're not doing draft talk. We're not doing who's the next quarterback talk. We're not doing that. We're not doing it. It's my show. We're not doing it.
Oh, it's your show.
When it comes to these calls, this is my show. Go ahead, Joe. Next.
Let's go to Chris
on the west side. JP, yeah. Somebody's got to step in and be the adult in that situation.
It's,
and it's not going to be Pete.
It's an 0-2 team, and we're not going draft yet. I agree with you. I'm not saying I don't agree with you.
I apologize about my show. It's our show.
Yeah, it's everybody's show.
I don't mind draft talk.
I do.
But when it comes to the quarterback who threw 35 touchdown passes last year after two games, that's absurd.
Yeah, it is. Chris, on the west side, you better do better than that. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Tony, I got three questions.
Three, go.
If you were the coach of the opposing team, would you feel confident in being able to formation the Jaguars in the bad matchup?
I would try. I mean, every
No. Would you feel confident?
Are you basing it on because they caught them in one bad coverage? I mean, it happened.
Just asking your opinion.
No, I would not be confident that any more than I would in any other circumstance. No.
Okay. If you were a player,
yeah,
would you feel confident in the ability of the coaches to put you in the best position to produce?
I have said this from day one. I would have loved to play for Gus Bradley in the culture that's been established as far as how things are handled. I'm a self-motivated guy. I'm harder on myself than anyone else can be. And the philosophy he has, I like. I mean, playing for Tom was fine too. They're completely different. But I think I would have thrived in it, and I think it would have been very good for me to play in that. So yes,
Where are you going?
Keep on going.
By the way, I want to hear.
Go to the third one.
I'm trying to dig deep at something like some true.
Go ahead.
Some
ask
true
your third question.
Thing. Tony, blink once or twice. Once for yes, twice for no. Does Gus have a future with the team? Go.
We're not on TV right now. You can't see what I'm doing. I just blinked.
Yeah, but you're on the internet. Blink.
No,
we're
not.
See you blink.
Not right now. I was dumb.
Jeez. All right. Let's take a timeout. More of your calls when we come back. Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today for details. That's not really a rousing phone call start. We'll try to rally.
That was awful.
When we come back.
Terrible calls.
Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. Jaguars Monday, JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco, your calls. You're laughing, I guess, at Twitter, Tony. Peter, you following much of this tonight?
Here's a good one.
Who's he getting on now? Was it somebody?
No, this is Samuel of Duval tweeted me, "Why are the Jaguar reporters so ugly? Seriously, Charger reporters are good looking." Where did he come from? Brent Martineau, he was out there. Is he ugly?
I don't know. Why do you ask?
I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
I got one says from Grant says, "Prisco is a straight shooter. Love that. Dude needs to have a radio show in Jax again."
They forgot that it got canceled.
I think it canceled.
Yeah, I did. You got fired.
I made too much money for the market.
You got fired. But isn't that funny? I mean, who? I'm laughing not because I care whether who's better looking reporters, but who tweets that? I mean, who? I mean, how does Samuel of Duval think of that?
Oh, maybe he watched the reporters in San Diego and thought, hey, they look better than the.
But like, what reporters?
I don't know. I didn't look at the San Diego reporters. I'm not doubting him. Actually, that's probably true. let's go to the phone lines again. 355-NFL1. John is on the south side. John, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey guys. So I want to talk to you about the quarterback play. Pete, you're right about. You gotta call back.
We can't hear you.
Can you not hear me now?
There you are. What's up?
Hey. So I want to talk about the quarterback, Blake Bortles play. I feel like he's been pretty bad the last, really, I mean, he's 38 interceptions in 32 games. You can't win with quarterback play.
Can't hear him. Get him out of there.
The question's about quarterback play. Can't win with quarterback play like that. We discussed that.
Yeah, he didn't play well. Got to play better. I don't know what else you want us to say.
It's on.
You know, that's something that I'll tell you I heard since the game with some of the guys that work here and some of the guys that come in today that they wonder if Bortles is capable of becoming an elite quarterback or a big-time quarterback.
That's what they're saying down there at CBS?
Some of the analysts, yeah.
What do you mean by elite big-time quarterback? What's your definition of that?
Well, you know, there's the perception that he played from behind a lot last year. I dispute that because I looked and a lot of it, you know, he was only down he threw a lot of touchdown passes when he was down between 1 and 7 points. So it's, you know, the myth is that he threw a bunch of them when, like, he was down by 14.
Like yesterday, right? Yeah,
right. But what he got yesterday was garbage time stuff.
Right.
That was that's garbage time. But is he capable of carrying a team when he has to? And I disagree with them, and I argue with them. I think he can, but again, I go back to what I said earlier in the program. I think when he falls behind, he has a tendency to think he has to get it all back in three plays. And that's not the reality in the NFL. You gotta, and everybody looks to him. They look to that face. They look to that man. They want to know if he's capable of regrouping after things go poor or bad. And so, yeah, I think he's got to step it up in those kind of situations. I think he's capable of doing it. Again, I'm going to go back to something I said earlier in the year. I think his mechanics have regressed in the worst way. I think he throws off his back foot more than he ever did. I think his motion has been elongated. And, you know, all that work he did with Tom House, go back and compare his motion and stuff from a year ago in the middle of the season to where it is now. It is entirely different. His motion has gotten long and longer.
Have you actually had side-by-side video of the two to compare it, or are you just saying that for memory?
Memory.
Yeah, I think you might be wrong.
And would you not agree with me that his mechanics have slipped?
I guess I don't know, because
Tony, when he's throwing off his back foot, leaning backwards, I mean,
that's,
and he's
not
never
good.
Going to be, he's never going to be perfect. Don't get me wrong, because I think he's got a little Favre gunslinger in him. You know, Favre's mechanics weren't the greatest in the world either, but there's something about him so far this season to me that doesn't look right. And again, I'm not the quarterback guy mechanically that like a Brunell would be, or a guy who's played the position, or a guy who studies the position, but it doesn't look the same.
I'm not saying you're wrong, Pete, but I just have a hard time. I'm not going to make an evaluation when I can't look at what he was doing last year and compare it to this year, because my guess is it's pretty nuanced, the differences.
The fact that his windup is longer is not nuanced, Tony. You can see it.
No, I'm saying I don't know, but how much longer? I mean, I don't think you – I'm not going to say I can see it, because I don't remember what he looked like throwing last year.
Didn't Collinsworth point that out on the preseason game?
He did.
Remember that?
Yeah, he didn't compare it to last year. He just said that how his release is long. He did do that.
It's longer than it was last year.
I don't
– it is.
All right, I'm going to try
casually – I'm going to go back and look at it, too.
I'm going to try a video right now. From last year.
While you do that, let's go back to the phone lines. Darren is in Mandarin. Darren, you are on the air. What's up?
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Tony, Pete, KP, love you guys. Enjoy the show every year. The glass is always half full with me. I've been born and raised in Jacksonville, so been here for the good times and the bad times. From everybody's prediction during the preseason, we can truthfully say that we're probably going to have this conversation another 5 to 6 times. You know, we've got another 14 opportunities, and we've talked about 8-8. I've heard that constantly and pretty consistently throughout, 8-8 or 9-7. So, you know, this was a very bad game yesterday. We need some leadership. I think Prince being out of the game, and obviously every team deals with injuries, but Prince being out of the game, and Ivory was brought in to be that smash mouth running back to go get us 2 yards, 3 yards. I think that has hurt us drastically the last 2 weeks. But I'd like to see someone on the offensive side of the ball and someone on the defensive side of the ball step up, grab these young guys together, pull them together, get in their face in a good way, and say, guys, we got to pull it together right now. You got to be held accountable. And I was very disappointed to see Puzzlezzi not call a timeout when he knew that he was fixing to be on a wide receiver. That's the kind of stuff that we as fans are getting kind of frustrated.
Hold on now. Why would he call a timeout? It's not his job to call a timeout.
It's
not accountability to Paul Puzzlezzi. The coach called the play when they saw him line up out there. If they didn't want him out there, they called the timeout.
Right. Well, isn't he the mic? I mean,
yeah, but
he's not the mic right now.
I know, but you understand that like 99.9% of the time, the timeouts come from the sideline.
Yeah, but if he lined up in that situation, he has to sit, look over to him and go, guys, call timeout. Get me out of this.
Right, no? He's the captain of the defense.
I disagree.
I mean, the captain of the offense called two timeouts last week that they could have used late in the game because he didn't like the play he was in earlier in the game.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
I disagree.
Well, then you're wrong again.
Agree to disagree.
Mm. No, you're wrong again.
No, I just don't think you're going to see Posluszny call timeout because he's scared to cover the guys over.
It's not scared. It's common sense. He's a linebacker. He can't cover him.
He's gotten in trouble by the producer.
What are you doing?
I watched Blake Bortles throwing motion from last year, and now I'm getting ready to watch it this year.
You're multitasking is what you're doing.
You agree with me 100% it's longer.
Let's get one more call in, guys, tonight. Jim in Ponte Vedra will finish us off. What's up, Jim? You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Two questions. One for Pete and one for Tony. For Pete, are you surprised at the NFL letting out that information regarding the 16 bad calls in Green Bay? Because you don't get that very often out of the NFL office. And then
they're trying to be more transparent, though. They are. I mean, like,
think the other thing, too, that concerned me was that you had the same group with the Jags in San Diego. I would have thought they would have at least.
No,
but that's assignments done long before the season.
No, it's a different group.
Same referee, different group around the lead referee.
Carl Sheffers had to take someone, Terry McCauley's group, week one. I guess, was Terry McCauley sick or something, JP, or something?
Yeah, something was different last week.
And so it was everything was different week two except for the referee.
My second question is for you, Tony. Is what surprised me, what disturbs me, and it's not just with Gus, this happened with the last years of Jack, was we heard yesterday that Ken Whisenhunt and Mike McCoy came up with a great scheme to beat the Jaguars with the shallow crossing routes and so on and so forth. And they said, well, they won the game because they out-schemed the Jaguars. My question is for the last, like, 6 or 7 years, I've never seen the Jaguars win a game and somebody go, boy, the Jags came up with a great scheme to combat, you know, Andrew Luck or you know, whomever it might be. And so I'm just wondering, is that not troubling to you as a former player?
Well, I guess we don't live in those markets, so I don't know what they're saying. And we hear that here. So we don't, we're not in Tennessee or in other places what they say about our team. At least I'm not reading the paper. Maybe you do. So I don't know if they say it or not.
Well, they were making a big deal about it on the TV yesterday. That's all I was, you know, that's why I was questioning it.
What were they making a big deal of on the TV?
About how that Ken Whisenhunt came up with a great scheme to beat the Jaguars' defense, you know, on the, you know, all the shallow crossing routes and everything else, and getting the matchups with, you know, Paul on, you know, Travis Benjamin. Although it only happened, I guess, what, once or twice. So, I mean, but I don't know. I just wonder sometimes if, you know, we've just been a little too conservative as far as, you know, our scheming against certain players. But, you know, I may be missing it, but I agree with you, Tony. I don't read all the, you know, I don't read every other.
I don't know what they
say. Sports page.
Maybe you're right. I just can't comment because I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would, if I was a coach, I would try and get a young defense confused with crossing routes and rub routes and pick routes too. That's what I would do.
So, Pete, I look,
especially with Rivers, especially the way Rivers gets the ball out of his hand.
True that. I looked at the video.
Okay.
Comparing Blake Bortles' motion compared to last year. Now, I only got highlights of, you know, last year and this year. And I would say if there's a difference, it's marginal at best. I did see. I did see one long throw this year that looked longer, but the shorter throws looked no different.
You did this in 2 minutes on YouTube.
Yeah,
is what you're telling us, and you have a full assessment of both years' throwing mechanics.
It's more than either you or Pete have done.
Well, I've looked at it. I just haven't done a full analysis of it. It just looks longer to me, a lot longer, and mechanically, I bet you noticed that on there, that he seems to be falling back or something more.
What I noticed in the game, he was erratic and jumpy in the pocket. Unsettled to me. And there actually was pretty good protection for most of the day.
I don't see, and that's a problem. That's something
that's
that
unlike
infuriates
him.
Me when I watch.
That's unlike him.
And that infuriates me when I watch quarterbacks, because you know, you guys up front work your butt off to get the guy protected, and then once their first read isn't there, sometimes their initial inclination is to start getting out of there and move around instead of staying put or sliding or moving or stepping up and making a throw. You know, everybody gives me crap about all the critiques I do of Russell Wilson, but he does that more, as much as anybody. And his line stinks, but when there are clean pockets, he has the tendency to move away from them and get out of there. Kirk Cousins threw a red zone interception yesterday on a play that was blocked up perfectly well. He had no reason to move. He could have waited. He didn't have to do anything. Trust your guys up front at times and allow yourself to stand there and make the throws. Easier said than done, because we don't do it, but that's what they're paid to do.
We'll come back and go around the National Football League. We'll hit the AFC South next and then around the league a little later. Thanks for your calls tonight. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco will look around the AFC South.
Let's do that.
For the next few minutes, and then we'll go around the league a little bit later. Week 2, the Houston Texans had a touchdown and 4 Novak field goals. They beat the Chiefs 19-12. Good defensive performance.
The Houston Texans are good. They are
good. Super Bowl good, or –
good ability if they get any quarterback play at all to make a deep playoff run. And stay healthy,
obviously.
The thing
is, they've been home for both games.
I think they beat New England Thursday night. Now, they're going to do without
– Well, if Jacoby Brissett's playing, probably.
I'm just saying, they're going to win. They're going to be 3-0.
Would they beat him with
– Garoppolo? Yes.
Yeah, they would have.
Not with Brady.
Why do I think that there's still some way that Belichick will find a way to win that game?
Because you –
the New England defense was good for a half yesterday and then kind of went into this lull because they had the big lead. But they have talent on that defense.
They do. No, they're good. No, I'm not – listen, I think the Patriots are going to win the division. I just think Houston's going to win. I think Houston's good.
Well, they won two home games against Chicago and against Kansas City, who are just mez teams, I think. And this is
who's
going to
win this week?
New England.
You think New England with Jacoby Brissett is going to are going to beat the Texans?
Somehow, some way, Brady Belichick
still no Gronk,
scheme
right?
up something. No
well,
maybe.
No
but they'll
way.
Scheme up something. They'll scheme up something to get them to win that game.
All right.
That'll be interesting.
I disagree, but that's fine.
The Indianapolis Colts. Well, the Broncos defense
back
made.
Up, before you go to Colts, would you not say that the Texans are the best team in the AFC South right now?
Yes.
Well, we got to do power rankings at the end, remember?
Oh, I
each
forgot.
Week.
Yeah,
what are you
I
doing?
Forgot.
Quit
no
jumping
doubt.
The gun,
I
man.
I forgot.
What's wrong
is that
with you?
Are they sponsored?
Okay.
Jeez. What are you? I mean, I know it's your show and everything, but good night. Come on.
We should put Tony, since he asks that every segment we do, we should put him out in the field and let him sell some. Get some sponsors.
That's a great idea. Hey, you know, help the team. The pride of the Jags going out, helping sell the power rankings.
I'll get right on that.
The Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck looked awful. That's the Broncos' defense. Two defensive scores. He had a 64.3 rating. 34-20 Broncos over the Colts.
Von Miller had 3 sacks, I believe it was.
3, and that's the difference between the Broncos this year and last year. Is Von Miller only had 11 all last year in the regular season, Tony.
He got four already.
And he had 5 in the postseason. He's playing at an unbelievable level. And, that was – Luck was taking a beating. He only got dumped – I think 5 times or something, but it could have been easily have been 10. He took a beating.
He was on the ground all day then.
They're not a very good team.
No, they're hurt on defense. They're going to lose this week, I think, because it's San Diego. They say Chargers go to Indianapolis. I can't imagine a team without a pass rush getting after Phillip Rivers. You know what I mean? He's going to kill them.
So you're saying if the Colts are 0-3 going to London, we could make the Colts – 0-4?
0-4, correct.
Wow.
That would be nice.
Yeah, interesting.
That would be real nice.
You got to worry about that other team in the division.
No, I know. Listen, it's so early, Pete. You know that. Yeah. I mean, stuff happens. People get hurt.
The Tennessee Titans are also in the division, scored 13 fourth-quarter points, including the game-winner Mariota to Andre Johnson, a minute 13 to go, 16-15 over the Lions.
Your type of ball game, Pete. I bet you could not wait to watch that one.
Well, it only took about, maybe three-quarters of it before Mularkey realized that he has Mariota and he could throw it around. The guy had 81 yards passing in the first half, and then he ended up going in the fourth quarter and throwing it all over the place. I mean, his system and thinking is so outdated, it's ridiculous. Yes, they're physical and they want to run the ball. That's not how you win in this league. You drafted Mariota number two overall. Let him become the focal point of the offense. And he looked good doing it. And the Lions blew that game. They had many opportunities to put that game away.
Mm-hmm. Exotic Smash Mouth gets it done, though.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
The week two power rankings in the AFC South. Go for it. What do you got? Guys?
Well, I got them. I got Texans 1, Titans 2, Colts 3, Jaguars 4.
Ooh.
You can't get blown out like that in that kind of game and expect to be anything but dead
but
last.
You realize the power rankings are who do you think are the best teams in the division?
Well, as they are right now.
Yeah, as of right now.
Where would you – go ahead.
Texans,
you do it.
Texans 1, Jaguars 2.
What?
Colts 3, Titans 4.
Cause that slop you saw on the field yesterday in San Diego is the second best in the division right now.
Yeah, because if
– Oh, Tony.
If the Colts were playing the Jaguars, I'd pick the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars would beat them. And if the Jaguars are beating playing the Titans, I think the Jags would beat the Titans.
If they play like they did yesterday –
if the Jags are playing Houston,
That's what I'd say. If they play like they played yesterday, they're not beating anybody.
Listen, you except do your Cleveland. Power rankings. I'll do my power rankings. Next week, if they had to play a round robin in the AFC South of those four teams, that's how I think it would come out.
I thought it was that way 2 weeks ago, but not anymore.
Mm. Well, you're a fair weather fan. I'm not.
I'm not a fan. I'm a realist. You're biased. You admit it.
I'm not biased.
You said it earlier.
About firing Gus, I said I was biased.
No, you're biased about the Jaguars.
No, I'm
your name's on the wall.
I'm neutral.
You're neutral?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That might be – we might have to put that in quotes and say that. He's neutral. Yeah.
That goes along with the sport coat, sport coats.
Sports coach, yeah, Dr. DBSASSASA.
Everything. Yeah, I'm neutral.
I'm neutral.
We'll come back and cover the rest of the games in the NFL in week two. Hey, calling all Jacksonville runners, don't miss the Stash Dash 5K Saturday, October 15th. Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Jags-Raiders game. Sign up today at jaguars.com/stash-dash. We'll finish week two around the National Football League after this. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
And we continue with our look around the National Football League in week two. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Let's continue with the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton comes on strong. Panthers over the Niners 46-27.
Yeah, the 49ers actually made that a one possession game. And then Blaine Gabbert threw two picks and got out of hand, and Carolina ran away with it.
Mm.
Did you see how they made it the one-possession game, though?
No.
Ted Ginn left the kickoff. There was a kickoff like on the three-yard line. It was rolling around. And he tried to pick it up, but he dropped it, and San Francisco recovered after scoring their touchdown and made it a seven-point game right from there, point-blank shot.
Wow.
So Blaine Gabbert ran it in on the option run.
The Blaine train.
The Blaine train will skip some balls into the feet of receivers.
That's all right. That's all right. Hey, don't judge. Don't judge.
Does he have a long throwing motion, though?
No. He has a pretty throwing motion.
Exactly.
Yeah, he has a good throwing motion. That's just, right. It's not accurate.
Ravens rallied from 20-0 down to beat the Browns 25-20.
Would have been 21 down, but they had the first blocked extra point return in history.
Started the rally.
Yeah, and made it 20-2, and then just went from there. Hey, Cleveland is bad on defense, really bad. They can't stop anybody. But did you see late in the game, Terrell Pryor got a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for spinning the ball or putting it at the, and he thought they thought he was taunting, and it wasn't taunting. It was a terrible call. It took him out of a chance to win the game. Mm-hmm. Too many they're calling taunting too close these days. They really are. There's been almost as many after 2 weeks as there were, or not as many, but the pace is really outrageous.
Well, it's a point of emphasis.
Point of emphasis. Yep. That always happens, Pete. It'll slow it down as the season goes on.
Has anybody been ejected this year for two?
No.
Nobody has?
No. Not that I know of. I know someone's been ejected. Aaron Donald got ejected out of that first Monday night game. I think that was
bumping the official.
Okay, but not for two separate.
Well, maybe
fouls.
Technically it was. Maybe they game one and then he bumped into game.
Well, yeah,
seven.
You don't have to have two to get ejected. You can still get ejected if it's bad enough. And obviously that was.
Yeah, if you bump the official, you get ejected.
There you go.
Put your hands on official, you're gone.
You're done in any sport. Patriots. Well, Garoppolo played well, but then the AC joint injury trouble in Foxborough this week, maybe with a quarterback situation. Huh?
Well, Pete says there's going to be no problem.
No, I didn't say it was going to be no problem. You think the Texans are the end-all, be-all, and I don't. And I think that Belichick will scheme up things and find a way to slow down Osweiler, turn him into a couple picks, and they'll find a way to score. Hey, you know, Garoppolo was fantastic yesterday, and I'm going to go back to Belichick again. A lot of coaches in that situation would restrict their quarterback and make him throw on third down and passing. He gave him the same game plan he gave Brady.
Did they
score, Jimmy?
Did they score after Garoppolo got hurt?
Yes. Brissett took him down the field on the opening drive of the second half.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
For a three or
they
seven?
Did. Seven.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Wow.
I'm so defensive.
But Garoppolo threw it around. He was accurate. He was throwing it. It wasn't like they were putting him in obvious passing situations. That's what great coaches like Belichick do. They put their guys in a situation to dictate tempo. They're not afraid of them, and they weren't afraid of them. I love that. They won't be afraid with Brissett. You know, it's easy to do when you have skins on the wall, too. You can look up at your trophies and say, hey, look, what are you going to do, get rid of me?
That's true. Yeah, good point. A barn burner in New York, Giants over the Saints, 16-13, a little different from last year.
They got on the board. Was it 0-0 when they got on the board with the block field goal for a touchdown?
Yeah, the Giants didn't play very well.
No, not at all.
Offense yesterday. Beckham dropped a couple passes, didn't look good. New Orleans played better on defense, but the Giants didn't play well at all. McAdoo, guilty of being an emotional coach. I hate that. Fourth and two, first quarter, 10 minutes to go, fourth and two, fourth and goal from the two. He decides, instead of taking the three, decides to go for it. Has Eli Manning throw a pass in the end zone, incomplete, no points. Dumb. Kick the field goal. You're at home. Take your points. Don't let that team get some momentum. It was a bad decision. These coaches get so caught up in the emotional part of it. Just like last week when I used the word irrational. That's irrational. You like it, though, Tony, huh?
I'm ignoring because I'm not getting into the conversation about you being crazy.
The slugfest goes to the Steelers, 24-16 over the Bengals.
It was rainy. It was nasty weather. Love to see those two teams play on, you know, pristine conditions because I think they both have really good offenses and can go up and down the field. Pittsburgh's my pick for the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
Roethlisberger didn't look right last night.
Yeah, but he will. And they don't even have Le'Veon Bell back yet. He'll come back. That's the best team in the AFC, in my opinion.
They're pretty good. And the Bengals got a raw deal at the end of the game. The guy's knee was down. Tyler Boyd's knee was down. I know the NFL sent out a video on Twitter saying no conclusive evidence. His knee was down. It was a bad call. But Roethlisberger seemed to have trouble with the wet ball yesterday, which was weird.
Which is unlike him.
Yeah. And the Bengals did a nice job on Antonio Brown. The Bengals are good. I mean, they were in that game, came back, scored late, were going down to get another one when they had the bad call. They were on like the 30-yard line with a chance to go tie the game. So they're a good football team. That's going to be an interesting game this week, Denver and Cincinnati at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati in that. Just because.
Me too.
Excuse me. I think the Broncos struggled to score points. They only put 24 up against – or 34, but –
two defensive touchdowns.
We're late.
And Simeon had a pick six.
Yeah, I don't think – I just don't see them scoring. And the Bengals will score even though it's a good defense. I think the Bengals win that game.
Dak Prescott, good game for the Cowboys, 292 yards through the air and a rushing score. They beat the Redskins 27-23, and a little chirping about Cousins all of a sudden in D.C.
Well, Dak Prescott, and I can't remember, he's the first guy since somebody who
Warren Moon.
Has played first two games of his NFL career without throwing an interception. Now, he's yet to throw a touchdown either.
Right.
But he is not throwing the ball over. Interception.
He's not turning the ball over. He's pretty good. He's pretty accurate. He's calm. He's cool. As far as the flip side, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins threw for over 350 yards yesterday, Tony. Completed passes to 10 different receivers. Mm. And when you watch the game, you came away from it going, boy, that wasn't very good. He missed a wide-open Crowder on the first series. That would have been a touchdown. He missed. He underthrew Josh Dotson on another play that would have, he was wide open, would have been a touchdown. And then the red zone interception that was just awful. I think there's been four red zone interceptions this season, and he's thrown two of them.
Hmm. Jameis Winston threw four interceptions yesterday. Cardinals
Ouch.
Hammer the Bucks 47.
That was my fantasy pick. In,
not good.
Not well, good.
That
at
was
all.
An ambush. They were waiting for him. You know in this league how there's always a team that should have won opening week, didn't, blew it. The coach who's Bruce Arians is,
yep.
Tony. He lit them up, called guys out, put their names out there, didn't hold back, and the Bucs were playing consecutive road games. Mm-hmm. If ever there was an easy pick in the NFL, that was it. They ambushed them yesterday.
Rams still haven't scored a touchdown, but they got it done 9-3 over the Seahawks.
That Seahawks offense, offense line's no good.
No, they're not good, and the quarterback is banged up, and he can't. He's ordinary when he stands in the pocket and has to make plays. His game is – Tony, you know his game is moving outside the pocket, making plays with his legs. He was ordinary yesterday. Don't you think there's a little part of Jeff Fisher that's smirking going, see, I can win games without scoring. Look at my defense. I won 9-3. He hasn't scored a touchdown in two games. Eventually, they're going to have to go to the kid and play the kid.
You can't wait to watch the Rams-Seahawks again and the Titans-Lions game again. Those are Pete Prisco type of football games.
You know what, though? Watching the Rams play the Rams brutalized the Seahawks for some reason. That defensive line, which was so bad last week at San Francisco, Tony, they've sacked him 13 times in the past three games. And if it wasn't for his ability to move not before yesterday, it would be far worse than that. They brutalized them.
The Falcons beat the Raiders 35-28, and AP was the torn meniscus. Sam Bradford looked awesome for the Vikings last night, 17-14 over the Packers. It's Monday Night Football. Carson Wentz leads the 1-0 Philadelphia Eagles into the midway to face the 0-1 Chicago Bears. Who you got?
I have no idea because I haven't seen Carson Wentz. I didn't get to see him opening day. And it's one thing to win at home as a rookie. On the road will be interesting. But I don't think the Bears are very good.
Who you got, Pete?
I don't know.
I like
I'm going to pick whoever Pete picks.
I like the Bears. I just think that this is a tough spot for rookie quarterback to start. They made it real simple for him, Tony. I did watch the 22 tape on that, and he was real simple for him. I like the Bears. I think the Bears will find a way.
I'm going Bears, too.
There you have it. Jaguars Monday. Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, JP Shadrick. See you next week. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.